Now, we're turning to the very first book of the Bible, and we're turning nearly to the very beginning of it, turning to the chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. And there we have recorded for us how that Eve and Adam were tempted by the devil, who took upon himself the form of a serpent in order to tempt the first man and the first woman. And of course, foolishly, they believed him. We always do wrong when we believe that which is contrary to the Bible. The Lord had said, you're not to eat. The devil came along, suggesting that it would be a wonderful thing if they were to eat of the forbidden fruit. And they listened to the devil. And they turned their back on what God said. And every trouble, every tear, every sorrow, every grief, every soul that ended in hell ever since came as a result of that decision. And in our lives, when we stop listening to God, turn our back on what he has said and listen to the devil, there can only be trouble. And oh, I tell you, boys and girls, I wish I could really write it on your hearts. There can only be trouble, if you listen to the devil. Well, the Lord came to them then, and he told them plainly the consequences of what had taken place. He pronounced judgment on Adam, on Eve, and on the devil. Nobody can escape sin and its consequences. The Lord speaks first to the devil, and we're going to read from verse 13. Pronounces judgment first upon the devil. Verse 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Which was true, but it wasn't an excuse. It didn't get her off. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. A state of war will exist. That's what the word enmity means. Between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. We have as our subject pictures of Christ given us in the Bible. And we have been considering so far in our assemblies just what the purpose of giving us pictures of Christ is all about. And we discovered that the Lord wants to reveal to us the Lord Jesus Christ for our good, for our benefit, for our salvation. It is as we look at him and study him that we first of all find life. And as well as that, when we become Christians, it is by looking to him, studying him, leaning on him, believing on him, that we feast our souls, satisfy their needs, for he's the bread of life. That's why Christ is set forth in the Bible. Now today we're going to look at what I believe is one of the very first pictures given us in the Bible of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not sure if when we were reading these words you saw the picture, but it was there. It was there. You know, I was just thinking by way of explaining how that as you go back to the beginning of the Bible and begin to look for the pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not very clear at the beginning. You might find it hard to locate the Lord Jesus in the first pictures given. And I was thinking, well, how can I explain that to the boys and the girls? And then I thought of something. Pictures that we have all around us here. And if we were to go over to the first pictures taken many years ago of the first pupils, the chances are, even though you know the pupils, you wouldn't recognize them because they're all grown up. They're big. Their mommies and their daddies now. But if you were to look at their pictures when they started here in the school, you probably don't know them. Some of you might even be looking at your mommy and your daddy and you don't even know them because they're the first pictures of them. And of course, as the years went by, they became more and more like the one you know now. So I think that helps us to understand that when we go to the early chapters of the Bible and look for pictures of Christ, they are not quite as clear as they later become. We can turn to the Gospels of the New Testament and we can read there very clearly about the Lord Jesus, what he said, what he did. And we can form an impression in our mind of what he must have looked like. But as we go back through the Bible to the beginning and the first picture, well, it's just not quite so clear. It's not quite so clear. If you get a chance, have a wee look at these pictures hanging around us here and see if you can spot those that you now know as adults in these pictures. Now, let's look at this first picture. We're looking, please, at the words that the Lord spoke to the devil. Verse 15. Chapter 3 and the verse 15, and here you have the first picture that I want to draw your attention to of the Lord Jesus. The first reference, I feel, that God makes of the coming Savior. Can you see him? Look at verse 15. See if you can see him. Listen to what it says. God is speaking, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it, that is her seed, her offspring, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I tell you, that's the first picture of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're going to look at. The Lord Jesus here is called her seed. He's called the seed, the offspring of Eve. Now, boys and girls, that points out a very important doctrine that you must learn. The Lord Jesus was made of a woman, it says in Galatians chapter 4 and the verse 4. He did not have a human father, which is normal. Each one of us here, we had a father. We have a father. A human father, as well as a human mother. But with the Lord Jesus, there was something very special. He was born of Mary, but not via human father, but by the wonderful operation of the Holy Ghost. His birth of Mary was a wonderful and glorious miracle because he was God manifest in the flesh. He, as the second person of the Trinity, took into union with his divine nature, perfect human nature, which he derived from Mary, not from a human father. That's the first thing. So that he's called her seed. The miracle of the virgin birth is set forth in the very opening words of the first picture given us of the Lord Jesus Christ. That shows how important that doctrine is. That God should set it forth first concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That shows how important that doctrine is. I think that it's a doctrine the devil has ever attacked, and he despises it. And you find among the modernist, liberal, false preachers today, still an attack upon the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you remember, that was one of the very first things that God pointed out regarding the Savior. In setting forth this picture, I want you to learn, first of all, that God, immediately after man's fall, gives this promise of a Redeemer. Oh, boys and girls, learn the mercy of God. Learn the mercy of God. He had just created man and woman. He had just set them in a perfect place where every possible need was supplied. And they rebel against him. They rebel against him. They defy his word. They disobey him. They listen to the devil. And what does God do? Now you would think, if it was you or me, who had thus been defied, ignored, belittled, mocked by someone that we had bestowed a great kindness upon, as soon as we would have discovered it, we would not have acted as God acted. We would have been full of anger, and we would have reached out to strike them, to hurt them, to get vengeance on them for what they had just done to us. But while God here speaks in anger and tells them very plainly of the sin that they have committed and the consequences of that sin, he also speaks of mercy. He promises that there would come one called her seed that would bring redemption. That would bring redemption. And as I say, that was said immediately after the fall into sin. That highlights God's mercy. That highlights God's mercy. Listen, boys and girls, when you do wrong, remember this. God is a God ready to pardon. Ready to pardon. He is a merciful God. He is a kind, loving, tender, gracious God, ready to pardon. And that is seen in that as soon as these two, Adam and Eve, sin against God, mercy is offered. I think too that you should just note with me that this promise of a Redeemer is found in words God spoke to the devil. He wasn't talking to Adam and he wasn't talking to Eve when there is mention made here of the seed of the woman. Verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He was talking to the devil. He was talking to the devil. And he told the devil, there's coming one who will encounter you and have a battle with you. And in that battle, you will bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head. He will bruise your head. You know, that's why the devil hates the gospel. Because every time the gospel's proclaimed, he is reminded of his defeat. Of his defeat. It's rubbed into him again and again and again every time we preach the gospel that God has declared you're going to be defeated. There's coming one who will encounter you and bruise your head. And if you bruise the head of a serpent, that's the end of the serpent. But in bruising the head of the serpent, there would be a wounding of the heel of the Redeemer. So Christ was going to suffer in this defeating of the devil. But God says first and foremost to the devil, there's a day of destruction coming for you. I tell you, that's why the gospel's hated. That's why the gospel's hated. Every religion in the world gains a substantial amount of tolerance by others. I was driving home from Lewis just last week. I think it was the M4 we were travelling north towards Liverpool to catch the ferry. And as we're driving along, and it's very, very busy in comparison to our roads, as we're driving along, I noticed a guy who had pulled off the motorway on the other side and stopped his van, and there he was out kneeling on the side of the road. Now, if I stopped and had a picnic on the motorway, it wouldn't be too long till the police would arrive and what's your name and so forth, and I'd find myself with a large fine. But I'll guarantee there'll be no policeman come and deal with that Muslim down praying in a most dangerous place. They tell you when your car breaks down on the motorway, get out of it and get over the fence and into the field away in case an accident takes place. The Muslim's not going to be bothered because there's a spirit of tolerance towards them and every other false religion except the gospel. Except the gospel. In Lewis, every month, The man there in the church have a little open-air meeting. And the council says you're not allowed to use an amplifier. No amplifier, just your voice. Now, it's not easy, especially when down the street there's a fellow with a guitar, blum, 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 blum. He's got an amplifier. And somebody else with a fiddle, and they're going, and they've got an amplifier. But the man preaching the gospel, he's not allowed an amplifier. He's not allowed an amplifier. The devil hates the gospel. He hates the gospel because of what the Savior says here to him. What the Lord says to him. Your day of judgment is coming. Your day of judgment is coming. Well, we leave that there today. We'll come back again to this verse for one or two wee things yet to say. But here's the first picture. Have a look at it. Think about it. Because as you look at it and think about it, you'll see more and more of what it is God has to tell you about our Redeemer. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, we thank Thee for Your mercy. We pray for Your blessing upon us today. Oh God, we do ask Thee to give us eyes to see, to behold the Lamb of God, to see Him clearly in all His beauty. Bless the boys and girls today and be with them and with the staff for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.